Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com. Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Survival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
This is Mental Health Exposed on Natural News Radio with Mike Bundrant.
Welcome to Mental Health Exposed on Natural News Radio. This is your host, Mike Bundrant. Thanks so much for joining us. For more information and some great articles, you can visit mentalhealthexposed.com. By the way, if anxiety or panic is of any concern to you, we've got a great 7-part email series. It's free, and it will blow your mind. I mean, there are natural and effective ways to heal anxiety. You don't need medication to heal anxiety. In fact, medication doesn't heal anxiety. It only squelches the symptoms. So just visit mentalhealthexposed.com, click on the Panic Away banner, and you'll be on your way. You can sign up for a free 7-part mini-series on healing anxiety. This is stuff that I've personally reviewed and approved and use in my life. You may also want to visit the INLPcenter.com. That's our personal development website. And we've got some of our very best original personal growth articles at the INLPcenter.com, where we offer NLP training, life coaching, and certification. Great show for you today. It's a disturbing show, actually, about psychiatric rights. If you listen, you'll be amazed at what goes on in the mental health system in America today. Attorney Jim Gottstein of psychrights.org is here to join me in a conversation that will really rock your world. I mean, if you're concerned at all with health freedom, then you need to listen to the show today, because normal people with normal problems, along with the truly mentally ill, are being taken advantage of, illegally detained, abused, and their lives are being ruined. As a result of their interaction with the mental health system in America today, the people who are supposed to be helping them are actually destroying their lives. And it's and these people have rights. These people should have some recourse. And so Jim Gottstein of psychrights.org, that's his mission, to help those people. And he's here to discuss a little bit about what he does and what kinds of things go on in the mental health world today. But before we get to that, let's talk some mental health news. Developing mental health news, the Australian government and the Australian Medical Association are targeting 27,000 three-year-olds in search of mental illness. The new government-funded program is wanting to treat children who may be showing signs. And what are the signs or symptoms that they're looking for of this mental illness? Shyness, temper tantrums, and needing to sleep with the light on. Needing to sleep with the light on. Yes, I guess the monster in the closet is now a symptom of psychosis. So the whole human race must need the Australian Medical Association's pharmaceutical interventions. Of course, the president of the Australian Medical Association is quoted as saying the following. He wants to squelch any concerns that people may have with this. He says, we have to be careful we don't medicalize normal behavior, which, by the way, is exactly what you're doing. There are genuine kids who need extra support. This means extra support. What does that mean? They need to go to a doctor who refers them to a psychiatrist who gives them medication? There are kids who need it, but we don't want to make the abnormal kids normal. Well, that is exactly what you're doing, Mr. Steve Hambleton. Kids who are shy, that's normal. Kids who throw temper, we're talking about three-year-olds here. A shy three-year-old is now considered a possible sign of mental illness. A three-year-old who throws a temper tantrum, have you ever met a three-year-old? Coming out of the terrible twos, by the way, who didn't throw some sort of a temper tantrum or get angry. This is what happens. This is normal behavior as they are growing, developing, and learning boundaries, what they can and can't do. When we're born, we don't have any sense of boundaries. We don't have any sense of that there's anything we can't have. We want it, we cry, we get it. As we get older, of course, some of us are still crying when we're 50 years old if we can't have things and throwing tantrums. But for a three-year-old to throw a tantrum, now considered a mental illness, just part of normal development. And of course, needing to sleep with the light on, I don't even know what to say about that one. But these are all signs of potential mental illness. And what happens is that these children will get evaluated as part of a normal developmental evaluation in which their allergies, eyesight, and hearing are checked. This is all normal when you put a child in public school, that they need to check these things. They do say that the mental health evaluation is not compulsory. However, it's part of the normal tests now that they are given. And so I can't imagine that people won't think that it is compulsory. And, of course, the AMA is suggesting that they don't want to, quote-unquote, slap diagnoses on three-year-olds or prescribe unnecessary medication. They just want to find more systematic ways of finding those kids which are causing difficulties and do something about it. And, of course, that doing something about it, again, the medical evaluation is performed or the mental health evaluation on these three-year-olds is performed by a family doctor. Family doctors have no training in mental health. If the family doctor suspects something may be wrong, like, oh, your child is shy, just imagine that, then the child gets referred to a psychiatrist for treatment. And what kind of treatment do psychiatrists give? Okay. Wow, really amazing. And you know what? These doctors, these family doctors that are being that are supervising the mental health evaluation, they are actually being trained by the government in order to do this. In other words, they don't have the training that they need in order to do a real mental health evaluation. So With the launch of this new program, the government is going to train family doctors to do the evaluation that they want done. And this thing just stinks. It's really, really unfortunate. It's too bad. And if they really, really wanted to help children that have problems, then why wouldn't they create a program, in the very least, that is funded to incorporate mental health counselors into this? This is not, these are not arenas where the first line of defense should be a family doctor who refers you to a psychiatrist. The family doctor has no training. The psychiatrist, that's an extreme measure. It's an extreme measure. If you want to, communication skills are the absolute best thing you can do to help your child who has shyness, who has, you have to know how to communicate with your child in such a way as to calm their fears, negotiate with them, talk with them in such a way that you motivate them to do what they need to do. And that's part of it, and part of it is just accepting that some of these things are part of the normal child development process, and as parents, we need to have the character to be patient with it. And yet these things are just, the fact that these normal behaviors are now being called mental illness and the government is getting involved, it says a couple of things. One, parents must be getting lazy and stupid to think that they need to take their doctor to a psychiatrist because he is, or their child to a psychiatrist because he's shy, or because he's throwing tantrums. And I know a lot of kids throw some horrendous tantrums. And what I'm saying is, they don't need to go to a psychiatrist for those things. You need to learn how to deal with it. You need to learn communication skills. You need to learn patience and character. You need to learn to be in charge of your child. And it's an education that the parents need. It's an education that teachers need in how to manage these children and to do it well with a great deal of commitment. It needs to be the most important thing in your life. And I know it's tough because we all work. We work long hours. It gets complicated very, very quickly. But solutions, real solutions, are available. And if you wonder at the limitations of great communication skills, interpersonal skills, or therapeutic intervention with psychotherapy, as far as I can tell, any problem that human beings can suffer with psychologically can be helped. I mean, back in the 1950s and 1960s, Jay Haley, Milton Erickson, along with anthropologist Gregory Bateson, were formulating models of how to intervene with no drugs, only through family systems therapy and communication with the client, and creating a context of healing. They were able to treat people for schizophrenia successfully, so that they could predict when a client would pop in and pop out of a psychotic episode. And once they could predict it and identify the cause within the family system, then they could learn how to prevent it from happening again. And they did so successfully. Google Jay Haley. Jay Haley's passed now, one of the great psychotherapists and strategic therapists of our time. And you can do the research for yourself. It is possible. And in fact, it's our responsibility to help our children through effective parenting, not through government intervention, not through psychiatric intervention. Help your children with their problems by becoming a more committed and better parent. Enlist the help of people to teach you how to do that if you don't know how to do it. Enlist the help of counselors or therapists or coaches or friends or support groups as you need it. But to evaluate three-year-old children who may be exhibiting shy behavior or have anger issues or don't want to go to sleep without the light on, evaluating them, doing a psychiatric evaluation on them is unbelievable. And I don't know the details at it beyond that. I can only speculate that the medical association, psychiatrists, and the way that they are pushing the pharmaceuticals on people, it's just an ever-expanding net, and it's quite frankly terrifying to think that they're getting involved in our lives at this level. Don't do it. Learn communication skills. Be a great parent. Discover the power of that. Discover the power of learning to communicate effectively. I mean, I'm rambling now, but this is what's going on in the news.
Mental Health Exposed is sponsored by the INLP Center. The INLP Center is an online personal growth site providing online personal development courses, life coaching, and certification in neuro-linguistic programming, all from the comfort of your laptop. Want to start making those changes you intended back on January 1st? Now you can. INLP Center is offering a free mini course entitled Three Soul-Stirring Questions to Reveal Your Deepest Self-Improvement Goals. Just visit them online to download this free course right now. Visit INLPCenter.com. More NLP, less hype.
Okay, as I mentioned, our guest today on the show is Jim Gottstein of psychrights.org. Go to psychrights, psychrights.org, to find out more about how the law project for psychiatric rights. This is headed by attorney Jim Gottstein. And if you're just curious about the kind of work that Jim does or the people that Jim is trying to protect, go to psychrights.org and click on the tab that says Everyday Horrors of the Mental Health System, and you will get a taste of the kinds of suffering and abuse that the psychiatric system, the mental health system, is putting people through. It's amazing, and we ought to be grateful for people like Jim who are stepping up and demanding that these kinds of things stop. They have other things at psychrights.org, SSRI horror stories, and more articles and news from the psych rights world. And so it's my pleasure to have Jim Gottstein on the show with us today. Okay, Jim Gottstein of psychrights.org, thanks so much for joining us on Mental Health Exposed. I really appreciate your time.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
You know, when I heard of you and found your site, I immediately knew that it's an important resource. More and more here on the show, we're hearing stories of people who get caught up in the mental health system, and essentially their lives are ruined, and they're trapped in the system of people who are supposed to be helping them, and it ends up going south. And so I was glad to have found a resource like yours, and I wanted to invite you on the show to tell us a little bit about your site and why it's there and what you're trying to accomplish with it.
You bet. Well, in 2002, after reading Mad in America by Robert Whittaker, I formed the Law Project for Psychiatric Rights, known as Psych Rights, and established the website. And Psych Rights' mission is to mount a strategic litigation campaign against forced psychiatric drugging and electroshock around the country. And I pretty much knew this story intuitively about the drugs, but Mad in America, in my mind, was not only a great book, but a litigation roadmap for how to challenge the forced drugging on the basis that it's not in people's best interest. So we, you know, at the same time we established the website and we put up basically all of our legal cases, all the pleadings and everything, and also we try and provide information about psychiatric drugs and electroshock that we've collected. And it started out with a study cited by Mr. Whittaker and Mad in America. And we have not just the abstracts, but the full articles that people can read. And what's really offensive to me is that people get labeled with a mental illness, and then when they tell the courts or their doctors that these drugs don't help and they're harming them, they say, oh, you're crazy, you don't know, this is good for you. And then they're forced to take them. And there are all kinds of places where the system is broken and allowing that to happen. Primarily, I'd say the most important one is that the lawyers assigned to represent people basically believe the same thing, which is if my client wasn't crazy, she'd know this was good for her. Anyway, so we are trying to attack that from a litigation perspective and also attack that from a public information or education standpoint by posting this information on our website.
Yeah, and at psychrights.org, there really is a wealth of information on there. And my first question is, how's it going? I mean, what kind of progress are you making? And is there hope?
Well, it's, you know, there is so much money on the other side, and the people that get caught up in the system are so disempowered, including by, you know, being given these psychiatric diagnoses, that it's very hard to make progress. At the same time, it's kind of gotten so ridiculous that I think that there's some hope, and more information is coming out about how the drug companies have lied about the drugs, and then that raises the question of what are the psychiatrists doing going along with this and harming their patients? We know that the people diagnosed with serious mental illness in the public mental health system are dying 25 years earlier on average than the general population. And it's pretty clear that it's almost all attributable to the psychiatric drugs in one way or another. So anyway, so how's it going? I think it remains to be seen. We're certainly trying to make some progress, and we've won 4 Alaska Supreme Court cases that really cut back on the state's right to drug people against their will, at least theoretically, and lock them up.
That's progress. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's progress. I mean, you're up against a machine that is, you know, I think larger and more powerful than most people care to imagine. And I think most of us sit back and hope that that machine is really on our side. But some of the stories that you have on your website are just phenomenal. And I don't mean that in a good way. It's sort of mind-boggling that this would happen to people. The people's lives, literally, I mean, you mentioned that they don't live as long, but and while they're living, it's literally a living hell, and you know it is hard to imagine that this is actually going on. I think a lot of people don't believe it's actually happening.
Well, I think that's right, and people think that this is, you know, it can't happen to me, but the truth is it can really happen to anyone. And it does happen to a lot of people. And I get calls, at least a couple times a week from people who were just living their lives and something happened and they get caught up into the psychiatric system and then their lives just go down the tubes. And
what are some examples of that? I mean, let's make it real. I mean, what are some of the stories? And you're not talking about any one in particular, or telling anybody's story in particular, but what are some examples of the kinds of things that do happen out there?
Let me think. So one of the very common things is someone might actually have Lyme disease, and it manifests itself in psychiatric symptoms. And so then they get diagnosed with mental illness and go down that path rather than get treated for Lyme disease. And some people might feel that they're having a nervous breakdown and go to the hospital. In fact, I got a call from someone yesterday about that who just felt that they were having a nervous breakdown and needed to go to the hospital and thought that was a place to get help. And when they found out that it wasn't really a place to get help, then they were locked up and drugged against their will. So that's one of the things that happens. I mean, people, I think, are entitled to believe that they're going to get help when they go to a hospital, mental hospital.
But the
reality is that it's not very helpful.
Well, that's branded in our consciousness that if you need help, you go to a hospital or you go to a doctor. And if you're having a nervous breakdown, if you're having extreme anxiety that won't go away, if you're feeling like you're going to take your own life, I mean, these are all things that, in fact, we are legally obligated to tell people that if that's the case, then they need to go to the hospital. And I don't know what else to tell them. I don't have anything else to tell them at this point.
I don't know that that's really true, that we're legally obligated. I mean, maybe, and I don't know that that's true at all, frankly. And so I never tell anybody to go to the hospital because I think they're better off not going to the hospital. I mean, the best thing for people to do is to get some support system around them and get in a safe place and try and get through it. Now, one of the things that's pretty universal in people that become what I would call psychotic is that they're not sleeping. And there are various reasons for not sleeping. But one of the things that's almost always the case is people are terrified or frightened, whether it's a realistic or what we would consider a realistic fear or not. And so it's very important to get people into a place where they feel safe. And so the current system's approach, which is to force people to do stuff, is just exactly the opposite of what's needed because it doesn't make people feel safe. And hospitals don't. Psychiatric wards are not places where people generally feel safe. So that also makes things worse.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I would do if someone in my family or a friend of mine or someone that I know were having some sort of an episode of any kind, I think what I would do is go into the room with them, shut the door, not let them leave, and say, here we are. I mean, what's going on? We're just going to ride this thing out until we can talk. And to me, that's what makes the most sense. It doesn't make sense to drive down to the hospital and have them, somebody pump, medication into that. That's just covering up what's going on. I mean, I want to know what's going on. I want to know what's happening so that, I can figure out how to help.
Right, and it's actually worse than covering up because these drugs are very harmful. And in fact, you look on the labels of virtually all of them, and they will have psychosis as a potential adverse effect.
Well, there you go. I mean, now we're
so,
in the absurd.
And then they cause organic changes in the brain, which I could go into. And you hear about, brain abnormalities and chemical imbalances. And none of that has ever been proven except or until these drugs are introduced. And then you have all kinds of brain changes, including brain shrinkage, neuron damage, and that kind of thing.
And you've got to...
I think people's, the common wisdom is that something, drives someone crazy or makes someone crazy. It's events in someone's life. And in my experience, that's almost always the case, is that if it's not one of these physical causes like Lyme disease, is that people, when you talk to people, they can tell you about something in the recent past which basically drove them over the edge. And a lot of times they can tell you about something in their more distant past, probably their childhood, which they feel set them up for. And that's the conventional wisdom. And we've really been brainwashed out of that into this idea that there's some kind of defective brain situation going on, which has never been proven.
Well, I've actually never spoken with anyone that was having a hard time that I couldn't sort of facilitate the conversation in such a way that made logical sense when we identified what was the cause of it. And it was always something situational with people in their lives or something in their history that's still bothering them on some level. And when we get to the root of that, we can find a direction to go in. And that's just, that is a very, very solid approach to problem solving. And I'm still looking for the evidence that suggests that that person, regardless of how emotional they are in those moments, I'm still looking for the evidence that suggests that their problem is caused by a biochemical imbalance. I'd like you to comment on that, but we've got to take a quick break for commercial and we'll be right back.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com. Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Okay, this is Mike Bundrant on Mental Health Exposed. You're listening to Natural News Radio. We're back with Jim Gottstein of PsychRights.org. Jim, what do you think about this the biochemical imbalance model?
And if it, well, there's certainly no proof of that anywhere. And so that said, I mean, one of the things that is very interesting is this idea of peer support or peer counseling or peer respite centers type of things, because what has been found is that people who have gone through it can really relate to those who are going through it and also give them comfort. And there's an interesting thing that happened in Arizona, I think it's been about 10 years ago now, is they had in the hospitals, they had a high rate of seclusion and restraints. And that's, you know, where people get strapped down and or locked in a room. And what they did, and that happened a lot when people were dragged in by the police, because the police mode of interfacing with people, interacting with people, is really an escalating process rather than a de-escalating process. So in any event, what they did is they put a couch right in the admitting area of the hospital, and they put a peer, someone who had been through the system, on the couch. And they brought the seclusion and restraint rate to virtually zero, just by when people coming in, they sat down on the couch and talked about it, and got people basically feeling safe.
Contact with a human being who can identify with them and reassure them, and it's all just what you would do for your child if they were having a hard time. You go sit with them and talk to them and reassure them and let them know that it's okay. When someone's having a hard time, you do that. But you're talking about, I've read some stories on your website, and again, I'm not referencing anyone in particular, but the kinds of things that you're fighting are, people getting put in the hospital and being given electric shock treatment against their will. Does that kind of thing really happen? I can't imagine under any
circumstances. It happens a lot. In New York, it's probably been about 10 years ago, the Assembly, which is the state legislature in New York, passed a law that said the Office of Mental Health had to just report the amount of electroshock it was giving and forcing, and Governor Pataki vetoed it. And so, but we know that it's really done thousands of times a year. Well, I don't know if it's thousands of times, but probably hundreds of times a year in New York alone. And Texas is bad. In Minnesota, they're doing outpatient force shock treatment.
Force shock treatment. Well, they're not giving the patient a choice. What if the patient just says, no, you're not going to hook electrodes up to my head and run a current through my brain? No, you're not going to do that.
Yeah, and it causes a seizure. And neurologists, know that seizures are really bad. And they do a lot of treatment to try and prevent seizures. And this is a procedure that is that induces a seizure. And it really is outrageous. It causes basically a closed head injury. And that's really the, quote, therapeutic effect. And you find that the lawyers just don't fight hard for their clients, and the judges just basically go along. And it's basically because people are being disturbing, and just to get rid of that disturbance, they'll just suppress that behavior any way that they can, and it's basically a sledgehammer to the head.
That they're being given against their will. That's the point that, I guess if you're a good enough salesperson, you could convince anybody to buy anything. You could convince people that their brain needs to be stimulated and that's why it's depressed. So let's hook you up here. You could convince people to do that of their own will, I suppose, just because you can convince people to do a lot of things.
One of the things that happens is that people get convinced for both the drugs and electroshock, and then they have it, and then they say no, and then the psychiatrists say, well, you're not competent to decide. You were competent to decide to take it, but now once you've experienced it, you're too crazy to decide not to take it, and then they go to court and force you to, and it really is outrageous.
It's barbaric. It's barbaric. And I think you brought up a good point in that when somebody is suffering to an extreme degree emotionally, we get uncomfortable. We feel like we have to fix it. And I don't know how electroshock treatment is fixing it by causing a seizure and a closed head injury, as you describe. Maybe that just sort of incapacitates them so they can't feel anything.
But there's kind of a euphoria that people get from a closed head injury often. And then there's this thing called anosognosia, where you don't know how much damage has been done. And so, and then of course, electroshock erases memories, and it's to a greater or lesser extent to various people. Sometimes it's a huge amount of memory loss. So there tends to be a short period of time where people are not, quote, depressed in terms of the rating scales after the shock, but it's very short-lived result, and so that's why they have to keep coming back and doing it, and, you know, every electroshock causes more brain damage.
Well, it's not a picture of health, and, you know, it's quite sad. And so this is the kind of thing at psychrights.org that you're fighting, and it does, I think that people are just unaware of the battle. They're unaware that this is actually happening in cities across America, and that it is a battle that we have. I think most people think electroshock therapy is something that they used to do to people back in the 40s and 50s, and only the people who are in mental hospitals that are sort of forgotten members of society, they don't know that it's could be their neighbor who is having a really hard time that ends up in this situation. But, you know, again, that's what we're fighting against.
We don't have any good numbers, but it's been estimated at least 100,000 people a year get shocked, and I pretty much refuse to call it therapy. You know, you mentioned what you do with a child that's having problems. You'd sit down and talk to them, but more and more what we're seeing is that even that's not being done, is that children are being given even the most powerful of these drugs, and especially poor children on Medicaid. And then children on Medicaid are given neuroleptics, like Zyprexa, Risperdal, four times the rate of people not on Medicaid. And then children in foster care are given these drugs nine times more than children just generally in Medicaid. And so this is, and when you think about a foster child, the reason why they're in foster care is because there's been a finding that they've been subjected to abuse or neglect. So, of course, a child or youth would be upset about that.
Right.
But no matter how bad things are at home, when they get yanked out of their home, for most children, that will also be very upsetting. And so they'll act out about that. And lots of times these foster placements are horrific in themselves, and that upsets a child. And so, excuse me. And so instead of helping the child or youth to deal with this situation, what the system does is come in and say, there's something wrong with you, you've got a mental illness, you'll never be better, and you have to take these drugs for the rest of your life. And it's just not true, and I can't even come up with a adjective strong enough about, you know, what a disgrace and what we're doing to children is.
And it is interesting that probably the most vulnerable children, the ones with the least amount of resources in their family, the ones with the least amount of family and adults that are really advocating for them, and the ones who have suffered the most, foster children, children on Medicaid from poorer families, the most vulnerable and the ones most in need are the ones that are being given, as you say, four times the amount of medication. And maybe that's just easy pickings for the pharmaceutical companies.
Well, it's no accident. The pharmaceutical companies targeted the children and the elderly in nursing homes and children on Medicaid and children in foster care. And so if you just, one of the common scenarios for children on Medicaid is that the parents will be threatened. If you don't give drugs, you know, drug your child, we will throw your child out of school. And they do. Or they'll even say, if you don't drug your child, we will take your child away from you on the grounds that you're neglecting your child's medical needs. So, and they do. And as you said, you know, someone who's more well-to-do can really stand up. And if they see that's not working, they can say, oh, I'm going to change course and take them off. But these poor parents really don't have the ability to do that. And God help the children in foster care, because they're just subject to bureaucratic management. And virtually all of them get sent for mental health evaluations, and they'll find something wrong with them and a reason to drug them. And it turns out, though, that most of the psychiatric drugs given to children and youth is not properly covered under Medicaid. In other words, Medicaid is not supposed to pay for it. And there is a federal statute called the False Claims Act that allows anyone to sue on behalf of the government for false claims and share in the recovery, if any. Now, there are a lot of technicalities on that. But because of that, PsychRights has established what we call this Medicaid Fraud Initiative for the psychiatric drugging of children and youth. And we have a form or model complaint that's designed for a former foster youth to sue the psychiatrist who prescribed the drugs, the agency that employs the psychiatrist, and the pharmacy. And we set it up for the former foster youth because that just seems to be fair for a former foster youth to get the money. But anybody with the information about the prescriptions can bring such a suit. Again, there are lots of technicalities. And we think that this has the potential for really curtailing the practice, because each prescription that is not what's called a medically accepted indication carries a minimum penalty of $5,500. So any psychiatrist or other prescriber, for that matter, worth their salt, would have prescribed at least 1,000 of these in the 6-year statute of limitations.
Yeah, that's $5.5 million per psychiatrist. Hold that thought, Jim, for a moment here. We're going to go to a commercial break. We'll be right back with you on Mental Health Exposed.
Mental Health Exposed is sponsored by the INLP Center. Visit INLPCenter.com to get your free 30-minute life coaching strategy session with Mike Bundrant. INLPCenter.com. The World Class Holistic Expo is coming to San Diego, California in August 2012. Holistic Expo 2012 will take place August 24th through 26th at the San Diego Convention Center in beautiful Southern California. Holistic Expo 2012 will feature 3 conferences in one: breakout workshops, special evening events, a 45,000 square foot exhibition area, mass yoga and meditation sessions, as well as private alternative therapy sessions. It will have it all, including a great lineup of speakers. The featured speakers are best-selling author James Twyman, international spiritual leader Dr. Bhaskaran Pillai, author and psychologist Dr. Daniel Coleman, spiritual author Robert Schwartz, master healer and author Deborah King, best-selling author and life coach Gary Quinn, spiritual guide and shaman Christian Zolker, erotic energy coach Barbara Corellis, and celebrity makeup artist and life coach Michelle Phillips. You really can't afford to miss this event. To purchase your tickets and for event information, visit www.holistic.n. That's holistic, holistic.in. See you there.
Okay, we're back on Mental Health Exposed. We're with guest expert Jim Gottstein of psychrights.org. Jim's an attorney. It's actually very exciting, Jim, that you may have found a way to get some restitution for some of these foster children or adults who were foster children at one point, who were subject to the abuses of psychiatrists in the mental health system, who illegally prescribed medications and coerced them, coerced the families or coerced the children to taking them. It's actually very exciting. It's sort of like a light at the end of the tunnel for some of these people, I imagine.
The idea is that if we can get, you know, one, maybe just one or a few of these tagged with this, that will scare the other ones to curtail the practice.
Right.
And the reason why we included the pharmacies is that the bigger ones, at least, have enough money to interest a lawyer. So you figure a psychiatrist might have a million or few, and then the person bringing the suit, who's called a relator, gets between 15 and 30%, say 25%. So if it's $1 million, then the relator gets $250,000, and the lawyer would get a third of that. So what's that, a little over $100,000 or not even, and $80,000. And so that's not really a lot to interest lawyers these days, but a big pharmacy potentially has a lot of money, and
right.
That's the idea. And so we've got this form or model complaint, and we're very willing to work with people to bring these lawsuits. Now, they have to be filed under seal, that which means in secret and initially and all that. And again, there are lots of technicalities, but we really are interested in getting some of these suits going around the country.
And to find out more, people just go to psychrights.org.
Yeah, and on the home page, there's a a link right there to. Let me look it up right now. Wake up my computer. It's called Psych Rights Medicaid Fraud Initiative Against Psychiatric Drugging of Children and Youth.
Okay.
And right underneath it, there's a model complaint, and then there's. Anyway, there's a lot of information.
There's a lot of information on the site. What advice do you have for people, just as we. Start to wind down the conversation. What advice do you have for people who may be experiencing a mental health complaint or a symptom or really struggling? What advice do you have for them if they're going to access the mental health system in some way? How do they stay in charge of the process? I mean, how do you avoid getting sucked into this system?
Well, first off, I would say don't access the mental health
I knew you were going to
regular mental health system. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but I have to caution against it. And so I would seek out one of these peer-run programs. That's what I would do.
Okay.
And
I got to tell you, I understand. I mean, I am a retired mental health counselor. My license is retired in the state of New Mexico. As a counselor, I worked in the system for the first 2 years of my practice. I worked with insurance, billing insurance. I worked at an agency. I was under the supervision of a psychiatrist. I left the system and went out on my own because of several reasons. One, when my supervisor told me I had to refer to medication, I had to refer someone for medication or I would lose my job. And I found myself lying to the patients or lying to my supervisor because I didn't refer them to medication usually. I would say, I have to tell you this. My supervisor says this. I'm offended, but I've got to pass it on to you and make note of it in your record. I had to diagnose them with a clinical diagnosis that stayed part of their medical as stayed in their medical records. I hated doing that. There's so many of these things that they forced my hand to do, which were not in the best interest of the client. They were in the best interest of the insurance company. They were in the best interest of the legal liability of the agency. And it had nothing to do with helping the person in front of me. And once that really sunk in, I left the system and I began to practice psychotherapy / life coaching on my own. You pay me money for it. You don't get to use your insurance. And I don't give you a diagnosis. I don't interface with your insurance company at all. This is just one person helping another person. And that's what I came to believe in. And so I wouldn't access the system myself. But there are a lot of people out there that it's just branded. What you do is you go to a psychiatrist, you go to a counselor, and so within that system, we have to have rights. If I go to a psychiatrist and I'm really depressed and he says, you need to take these medications, I can say yes or no. Nobody's ever going to hook my head up to electroshock therapy. I don't care what's going on. I'm not going to allow it. So I know my rights going into it. Can't we educate people at least that much? Maybe not. Maybe I'm just dreaming.
Well, I think it's, from my perspective, it's not really a question of educating people about their rights, because their rights are not honored. I mean, people actually will be, if they start saying that they have the right not to take the drugs, that will get put in the chart as a symptom of their mental illness. And do you disagree with that?
No, I'm just, you know,
so
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, so it's not educating people about their rights. It's trying to enforce people's rights, and that's what Psych Rights is all about. And I'm most critical of the lawyers assigned to represent people, you know, in terms of the legal system. And frankly, I think that what they're doing is a violation of their professional ethics. It's not their job to say, oh, this is in my client's best interest, and so I'm not going to fight for what they want. It's their job to fight for what the client wants, and it's the other side's job to convince the judge to, do whatever, and it's the judge's job to objectively decide. And the legal system is broken because it's, you have the term public pretenders for the public defenders, and I think that's an accurate description. So I'm most critical of the lawyers assigned to represent people with respect to the legal system. And with respect to the rest of it, I think that psychiatry really needs to be held accountable for what it is doing. I mean, we've adopted this graphic, the Lucy cartoon, a transformation of the Lucy cartoon, where, I don't know if you remember, where it says the doctor is in.
Yeah.
And when we have a graphic, it says the doctor, and then there's a choice, fooled or complicit, because those are really the only two choices, because we know that these drugs are not effective. We know that they're dramatically reducing recovery rates. We know that they're dramatically decreasing lifespans. And so why are the doctors prescribing this? And if they've been fooled, they need to change. And in fact, at this point, I think it's pretty hard to really give them much of a pass on that. 10 or 15 years ago, I think you could, I call it plausible deniability, about not knowing what's going on. But at this point, they really have to hide their head in the sand not to know about these lies that the drug companies have perpetrated. And so psychiatry is really in cahoots with the pharmaceutical industry in perpetuating these lies. And it really needs to be held accountable. And so I think that's a really big question that needs to be asked and then put to psychiatry.
All right, Jim Gottstein of PsychRights.org. Go there, people, and support PsychRights.org. Become educated and more aware of what's happening in your community. Jim, I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show today, and I hope to have you back. It's been a great conversation. It's eye-opening. It's difficult stuff to look at. It's difficult stuff to be aware of and tolerate, but we need to, because it's happening in our country. It's something going on that we need to address. So, again, thanks so much for joining us, Jim. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Mental Health Exposed with Mike Bundrant on National News Radio.
Okay, that does it for the show today. Thanks for joining us on Mental Health Exposed here at Natural News Radio, and thanks so much for your continued support. Join us. There's a new show that comes out each Wednesday at 5 o'clock Eastern Time. It plays live. Shortly thereafter, it is in the show archives at naturalnewsradio.com for Mental Health Exposed. Thanks for your continued support. Don't forget, if you're interested in anxiety and panic and how to heal it naturally, remember, medication doesn't heal anxiety. It may only squelch the symptoms. If you want to heal it once and for all, then at least try the free email series on healing anxiety. It's a 7-part email series that will really open your mind to what's possible and the techniques that are available for healing anxiety today. It's really quite profound, even in the worst cases of panic disorder. anxiety can be healed. Go to mentalhealthexposed.com, click on the Panic Away banner. You'll be on your way. Sample the free mini course and begin to broaden your horizons in terms of managing your emotions naturally. And that does it for the show today. Thanks so much for joining us again. Hope to talk with you again real soon.
Mental Health Exposed is sponsored by the INLP Center. Visit INLPCenter.com to get your free 30-minute life coaching strategy session with Mike Bundren. INLPCenter.com.